You're listening to the Daily Mishnah Podcast with Benedict.
So as we go through the 16th chapter of Yevamot, we've begun with questions about whether a woman can give evidence. But we're now going to get into much more general questions as to how we accept evidence, and particularly how we accept evidence about the point of death. And the Mishnah continues in the third chapter. Ein me'idin ela al parsuf apanim im hachotan. We can only give evidence about the face with the nose. In other words, we're not going to identify a human and declare him dead without a face, and in fact, without a face with a nose on it. So there's an idea, the Mishnah has an idea that a person's face is no longer recognizable without nose. And that is, even if there might be some other identification marks, that Mishnah continues, afal pi sheyesh simanim begufo uvuchelav. So maybe he's got a particular a jacket that he wears, or maybe he's got a particular tattoo that he has on his shoulder, or she, but we're only going to identify them on the basis of their face with the nose. So we're going to be quite restrictive in the kind of evidence that we accept. And anyone familiar with the Mishnah and its treatment of capital cases knows that in general, the Sanhedrin is really careful about what kind of evidence it likes to accept. Ein me'idin ela al shlosha yamim. And they only testify within 3 days. In other words, if a body is more than 3 days old, we consider it non-identifiable. When we're going to testify, we're going to, and remember, of course, in the time of the Mishnah, I guess bodies used to deteriorate, in the place of the Mishnah, around Palestine. I mean, bodies used to deteriorate perhaps faster than they do in Boston. Certainly Boston winter. And by the way, you notice that we're into halachic poetry again here, as we've seen so often in the Mishnah. All these rulings in the Mishnah begin Ein Medin Eila Al or Eila Ad. So we only testify about within 3 days. Afilu Ra'uhu Mugiyad, even if we saw him cut up, Vitzaluv, or crucified. Interesting, they were clearly crucified. Well, we know they were crucifying people in the time of the Mishnah, but it's actually written in black and white here. Ahatzaluv, actually on the crucifix. Vehachaya ocheletbo. And maybe we can see a wild beast devouring him. And now we're going to get back to our leitmotif, Ein me'idin ad she'tetze nafsho. We actually only testify when he's dead, until his life has gone out. We don't assume he's dead just because we've seen he's in a position where he, we think he's bound to die. Rabbi Yudah ben Baba Omer lo chol adam velo chol mukamot velo chol asha'ot shavim. You know, Rabbi Yudah ben Bava wants to apply rationality. He says, look, you know, not all places are the same, not all people are the same, not all times are the same. Maybe we can make exceptions. I don't think the halacha goes according to Yehuda ben Bava. That's his view. And Rabbi Meir is going to, well, let's carry on. Let's talk about drowning. Nafalamine, Bain Sheshlan Sof, Uvain Sheinlan Sof, Hari Shto Asura. If somebody fell in the water, now this is really interesting because we don't, obviously, if we retrieve him from the water and we see that he's dead, at this point we deploy the Mishnah that we've already learned above. If we can see his face with his nose and it's within 3 days, we can testify that he's dead. What if he falls into water and disappears? How do we know what happened to him or what might have happened to him? And it might be one issue for a body of water where we can kind of observe the edge, so we can observe whether he climbs out or not. But what if he fell into a sea where the edge is indeterminate. What are we going to do then? So the Mishnah continues, Nafalamayim, he falls into water. Bein sheyesh lahem sof, uvein she'ein lahem sof, whether or not it had a name. Harei ishto asura, his wife is forbidden. And the Gemara says that this saying is a saying of Rabbi Meir, and the sages are not going to go with Rabbi Meir, by the way. But Rabbi Meir will just say, look, he falls into water, his wife is forbidden, i.e. she's forbidden to remarry. If he falls into water, we can't retrieve him, dead or alive. His wife can't marry. She's an aguna forever. And he's going to, you can imagine the sages are not going to like this approach because the sages wish at all times to prevent agunot. But Rabbi Meir is going to bring an example to back himself up. Amar Rabbi Meir, ma'aseh be'echad shenafal abor gadol ve'alah l'achar shlosha yamim. It once happened that someone fell into some giant well. So this is actually a body of water that did have an end. It did have a limit. So it's the easiest body of water to deal with. But after 3 days, he climbed out. So in other words, we can't assume someone is dead just because he falls into water. We don't see him climb out. It might happen much later. Amar Rabbi Yosi, Maaseh b'soma, sheyarad li bol batma, rav yarad moshcho acharav. Once a blind man went into a cave to immerse. Interesting, again, you see, we're noticing that people were, you know, the people, here's a practical case of immersion, right? In time of Mishnah, you couldn't necessarily find a manufactured mikveh, so you might go into a rock pool that you knew existed at the bottom of the cave. But this guy's blind, and he has someone who's pulling him along with a rope. He's got someone who's guiding him with a rope, a guide. For Yarad Moshcho Acharav, his guide went in after him. Bishahu Chadesh Yetzei Nafsham, and they waited until they were clearly, you know, they waited long enough that they should be dead. Vehisiu et nafshotehen, and they let their wives remarry. So Rabbi Yosi is not going to agree with Rabbi Meir. In fact, the sages are not going to agree with Rabbi Meir. In the case of, let's say, a body of water with boundaries where we can see where they get out, and the cave is a classic example of a body of water with a boundary. If they go down and they don't come out, we're going to assume that they're dead, and we're going to let their wives remarry. And here's another example. Shuv, Maseva Asya. Interesting, the word Asia is written out in the Mishnah. Shuv, Maseva Asya. Another incident occurred in Asia. Bechad she shiluhu al hayam, or shel shelet, is a chain. So they seem to have lowered him into the sea with a chain. Of course, a chain can be dangerous if it catches round your leg. There's no slack in it, so it can be dangerous. And well, we're going to find out. Velo alat biyadam ela raglo, and only his leg was brought up. The chain seems to have cut off his leg, so he's actually now swimming around in the sea, but he's lost his leg. Amru lahem chachamim, the sages said, mi arkuva ulamalan tinase. From the knee above, i.e. if he's lost some portion of his leg from the knee above, in other words, basically if he's lost from the knee down, tinase, she can remarry, his wife can remarry. Me arkuva ulamata, below the knee, if he's lost a portion of his leg below the knee, lo tinase, she can't get married, because the sages are assuming that if you kind of make this, maybe this is someone who loses his foot, right? Maybe his ankle was broken. He loses his foot. But the assumption is, and this, of course, is an example of a body of water with no limit. So we can't see where he came up. But the sages are anxious that he might have come up somewhere alive. Just as they're anxious about Agunot, they're also anxious about Mamzerim. And so in this case, they don't seem to be able to identify any evidence that he had really died. So at this point, regretfully, his wife is unable to marry again.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Daily Mishnah Podcast with Benedict.